year should be a special schus. Rabbi Marinimi Marazi Shayichi, the schus Moshe Rabben Peshadina. We're going to continue our series of Shirim in Mishlei, B'Siyata D'Shemaya, based on the Torah of Moreno Agon Rav Moshe Shapir Zitzal. In the Psicha Sigeras HaMusar of Yisrael Salanter, Eret Shtarker Verter, he says some very strong words. Ha'adam Chavshi B'Dimiono, Basar B'Muskalo, man is free in his imagination, and he's bound in his Haskalah, in his intellectual capacity. His imagination goes wild, and when it comes to using his seichel, he's limited. His imagination leads him astray in the heart of, in the way of the will of his heart, and he's not concerned with the definite future. When God remembers all of his actions, and he will be punished very severely. Nobody else is going to get it for him. It's only him alone. Both the one who does the aver and the one who gets punished for it is the same guy. Marihi. It's bitter. And a person shouldn't say, this is my illness and I will bear it. The damaging of the world, our mitzar, our small, vis-a-vis the punishment for sin. In other words, the punishment. You take a person, chas shalom, with cancer, achmal etzlan, take a person with ALS, with Lou Gehrig's disease. All of these things, compared to the onus of averus, they're nothing. Tigal nefesh ha'adam lemadai. Yom l'shana yichashev. It's very, very difficult for the person. Every day is like a year. Oy l'dimyon, oyev hara l'zeh, miyadeinu b'kochein l'achikob, b'sitnon o'ozik ha'shev esel ha'seichel. So how do you avoid this? The answer is, listen to your seichel. That a person has to be maskil al dvar emes, a person has to think of the truth, to think of the schar aveda vis-a-vis the hefseid of the avera. Umanasa had dimyon enachal shotev, vahasechel yitba, imlona nechenu bonia, hi rikshas hanefesh vesaras haruach. So, we have to think of the truth. We have to think of the benefit of doing the Avera versus the loss. And what can we do? The Dimyon, the imagination that we have, is like this flowing river. And the intellect, which is rational, gets drowned if we don't lead it with a ship. And what's the ship to get us through? Rikshas ha-nefesh v'saras ha-ruach. The feeling of the soul and the stormy spirit. So, in the name of Rav Dessler Zatzal, the whole idea of Musar, of Rabbi Sol Salanter, is in these words, in these sentences, in this passage. So you see here three things. Number one, you see that Ha'adam Asur B'Muskalo. Person is bound with his intellect, bound of you properly using his intellect. The Seichel relates only to a Mahalach that connects to specific things. But a person's Chofshi B'Dimyono, a person's free with his imagination. The imagination is completely free and works without any connection to specific things. Nothing is mechayev the imagination. The seichel is bound by reality, specific reality. The imagination can just go amok. That's number one, that you have to be careful of this imagination. The imagination is unfettered. Number two, Kobayas Hamitzius, the whole problem of reality, of good, of evil, is rooted in Seichel and Dimyon. In other words, you want to overcome evil, you have to live in the world of Seichel, because if a person in the world of Dimyon, he can just create his own narrative about life and about death, and then he's fine. He's got absolutely nothing to worry about. So that's why it's so important to use the Seichel and to live in a world of reality of what really is, and not what my imagination would like it to be. That a person can imagine, yeah, I can sin, I can do whatever I want, and if nothing's going to happen, I'll be fine. Number three, the Dimyon is like a Nachal Shotev, it's like this flowing river that drowns the Seichel. And the solution is Rikshas HaNefesh V'Saras HaRuachi, very emotional soul and a stormy spirit. So we have to explain this. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, writes in Perek Aleph, in Sefer Aleph, in the Sefer Rishon of the Mor Nevuchim, in the second Perek. So it's a long quote, but it's kedai, always kedai to learn the Mora. So we will see what the text says in English. I won't read it in the Hebrew. Anyway, the Hebrew is translated from the Arabic, and I will certainly not read it in the Arabic. So let's see what Rabbeinu the Rambam says. You ready? Here goes. Some years ago, a learned man asked me a question of great importance. The problem, the solution which we gave in our reply, deserves close attention. Before entering upon this problem and its solution, I must premise that every Jew knows that the term Elohim is a homonym and denotes God, angels, judges, and rulers of countries. Shem Elohim is mishtatef, it's for various things. It can be Hashem, it could be angels, it could be judges, it could be rulers of countries, and that Uncleus Hager explained it in the true and correct manner by taking Elohim in the sentence, and you shall be like Elohim, in the last mentioned meaning, and rendered the sentence, and you shall be like princes. Kvar bir Uncleus Hager ve'emes mashabiru ki'omr ve'elisim ke'elohim yodei tov ra. You'll be like princes. Having pointed out the homonymity, in other words, it's a shem mishutaf, of the term Elohim, we return to the question under consideration. It would at first sight, said the objector, appear from Scripture that man was intended to be perfectly equal to the rest of the animal creation, which is not endowed with intellect, reason, or power of distinguishing between good and evil. But that Adam's disobedience to the command of God procured him that great perfection, which is the peculiarity of man, viz., the power of distinguishing between good and evil, the noblest of all faculties of our nature, and the essential characteristic of the human race. It thus appears strange that the punishment for rebelliousness should be the means of elevating man to a pinnacle of perfection which he had not previously attained. This is equivalent to saying that a certain man was rebellious and very wicked, wherefore his nature was changed for the better, and he was made to shine as a star in the heavens. Such was the subject of the question, though not in the exact words of the inquirer. Now mark our reply, which is as follows. And that is, you appear to have studied the matter superficially, and nevertheless you imagine that you can understand the book which has been the guide of past and present generations. When you for a moment withdraw your lusts from your lusts and appetites, and glance over its contents, as if you were reading a historical work or some poetical composition, collect your thoughts and examine the matter carefully, for it is not to be understood as you, at first sight, think, but as you will find after due deliberation, namely, the intellect which was granted to man as the highest endowment was bestowed upon him before his disobedience. With reference to this gift, the Bible states that man was created in the form and likeness of God. On account of this gift of intellect, man was addressed by God and received his commandments, as it says, and Hashem commanded Adam. For no commandments are given to the brute creation or to those who are devoid of understanding. So it's pashut that Adam had seichel beforehand. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim v'lo tiyatzava lebehemos v'lo mishe'en lo seichel. It doesn't go to those who are devoid of understanding. U'b'seichel yavdi la'adam b'ena emes v'hashekar. With seichel you distinguish between good and evil. And that Adam could already do, b'shleimus. This faculty Adam possessed perfectly and completely. The right and wrong are terms employed in the science of apparent truths, of morals, not in that of necessary truths. As e.g. is not correct to say in reference to the proposition, the heavens are spherical, it is good, or declare the assertion the earth is flat to be bad. But we say of one that it is true, and the other that it is false. Ki leomar shemaim kedurim na'a v'lo aretz shtucha maguna, ha'lo yomar emes v'sheker, v'chein b'lushinen yomar al koshet v'al abotel emes v'sheker. And so in our language, we express the idea of true and false by the terms of emes and sheker, of the morally right and morally wrong. So truth and false are emes and sheker, and morally right and morally wrong are tov and ra. Thus, it is the function of the intellect to discriminate between true and false, a distinction which is applicable to all objects of intellectual perception. When Adam was yet in a state of innocence and was guided solely by reflection and reason, on account of which it says, he was not able, you made man, little lower than the angels. He was not at all able to follow or to understand the principles of apparent truths. The most manifest impropriety, i.e. to appear in a state of nudity, was nothing unbecoming, according to his idea. He could not comprehend why it should be so. After man's disobedience, when he began to give way to desires which had their source in his imagination, and to the gratification of bodily appetites, as it is said, and the wife saw that the tree was good for food, and delightful to the eyes, he was punished by the loss of part of that intellectual faculty which he had previously possessed. He therefore transgressed command with which he had been charged on the score of his reason, and having obtained a knowledge of the apparent truths, he was wholly absorbed in the study of what is proper and improper. Then he fully understood the magnitude of the loss he had sustained, what he had forfeited, and in what situation he was thereby placed. Hence we read, and you should be like Elohim Yodei Tovara, and not Yodei Emes V'Sheker, while in necessary truths we can only apply the words true and false, not good and evil. Although Adam was originally on a Madrega, where everything was Emes and Sheker, there was clear good and clear evil, and now things become subjective, good and evil.
In Sechel, man knows the truth from falsehood. In all intellectual things. So it wasn't to bother him, the erva. So then, all of a sudden, he became to this world,
like we said before. Then he got to the world of not truth and falsehood anymore, but good and evil. He wasn't living in the world of absolute reality, he was living in the world of imagination. Furthermore, observe the passage, and the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. It is not said, and the eyes were both opened, and they saw, for what the man had seen previously, and what he saw after the circumstance was precisely the same. There had been no blindness, which was now removed, but he received a new faculty, whereby he found things wrong, which previously he had not regarded as wrong. Besides, you must know that the Hebrew word pakach used in this passage is exclusively employed in the figurative sense of receiving new sources of knowledge, not in that regaining the sense of sight. Compare Hashem opened your eyes. That the eyes of the blind should be opened in Yeshayahu. Open ears, he hears not. There in Yeshayahu. Similar in sense to the verse, which have eyes to see and see not. So that's talking about being able, that's the sense of sight. But here, we're not talking about the sense of sight. There it's talking about, also it's talking about intellectual, not talking about being able to see.
God opened her eyes. Vatifkach Elokim Esayneah. What does it mean, Vatifkach Elokim Esayneah? It means that now she could see it all along, but her secho wasn't with it. Einayim lehem lo yiru, they don't have this intellectual capacity. The eyes of the blind should be open. Also, it's talking about the intellect. So, on account of the, so when the pasuk is about Adam, he changed his face, and you sent him forth. In Eov, it must be understood in the following way: on the account of the change of his original aim, he was sent away. Because panim, face, pana means to turn, and signifies aim, because you turn your face to what you desire. So, in accordance with this interpretation, our text suggests that Adam, as he altered his intention and directed his soul to the acquisition of what was forbidden, he was banished from paradise. That was his punishment. It was measure for measure. Okay, and the Rambam goes on. So, what the Rambam is trying to say is that the koach of Havdalah ben Tov l'Ra was not mischadesh by Adam HaRishon after the sin. Before the sin, there was already a koach Havdalah of Adam in a matzav of distinguishing between emes and sheker. Sheker has no metzias. And in that matzav, Adam HaRishon wasn't at all shaykh to Ra. Ra gives metzias to sheker. That only started after sin. Being able to be mavdil between Tov and Ra, there's good, there's evil. What are you talking about, there's good and there's evil? It's emes and sheker. In other words, a different level of clarity. Emes and sheker, sheker is not even a metzias. Now there's this good and evil, and I see it as good and I see it as evil, and sometimes you can see evil as good and good as evil, and it's a bad way to live. V'yisim kelokim yodei Tov ra, and the Targum means keravrevim ben tav levish. In other words, judges. You're judges between good and bad. A judge decides between two sides that come before him. That was the matzah that was mischadesh after the sin. There are two tzadim that are standing before man, good and bad, and he has to decide between the two. And therefore the Rambam adds that the sin of Adam HaRishon wasn't in the achila itself, but rather in following his taivus. When it says, ki tov ha'etz l'machal, it's good. It's good, and therefore the onish came mida keneged mida. Now you're also going to be in the world of tov ra. In other words, you wanted to follow your imagination, you wanted to follow your taivus, your dimyanus, your imagination about what's going to be good. So that's the world you're going to be thrust into. So what's the difference between dimyon and seichel? Dimyon, a person is kulo nifal. A person is completely activated. He is passive. Seichel, you're the poel. You're the active one. You're not passive. Dimyon is the koach that preserves anything that was absorbed into consciousness by the senses. But this absorption is not controlled, and a person could create for himself, through his imagination, a picture of the world that he is in it, but it is an imagination. It's not real. Therefore, dimyon requires seichel. B'loshan ha'ari, ha-dimyon klila seichel, klia seichel. Seichel is chal on something. Mitzad atzmo, seichel doesn't have anything. The seichel is a kli. Seichel is an empty kli. The seichel is po'al adi ha-dimyon. We have our dimyon, we have our system of preserving what was absorbed into our consciousness through our senses, and then the seichel now takes that information and uses it properly. The sense perception can also only come through the help of imagination. The sense of sight understands things only with the help of experience that was acquired by the other senses and was assimilated into his imagination. The first re'iyah, you don't really get it. You don't really understand what you're seeing. The whole tefisa of re'iyah is because you saw previously and you also used your other senses, and that's how you are able to understand what you're seeing and what the meaning of what you're seeing is. In the name of Rav Bloch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It is accepted for people to think that if a person would have one more chush, if a person would have one more sense, so it would be developed, he would be able to develop another dimension of perceiving the world and perceive things, absorb things, assimilate things that he hasn't been able to do until now. But the Maisa could be just the opposite. We see that when you have more senses, it limits the other senses. In other words, when you see a demus, when you see a picture of somebody in a mirror, you can think it's really a person. So what do? You have chush hamishush. You have your sense of touch, and then you touch it and you realize it's not a person, it's a mirror. So if we would have a new chush, it could be that a lot of things that we now perceive as reality will be then perceived as a non-reality. And that's what it means. B'shuva Hashem Shiva Tzion Hayinu Kechomim. The tfisa of La'asid Lavo is going to reveal that our tfisa in Olam Hazeh was a tfisa, was a perception of dream, was Lomit Siyuti. They were going to have that added chush, we're going to have that added sense to enable us to see that this world was all just a dream. So we learned that in Dimyon there are two things. Number one, the experience with which the senses are able to absorb things. We have our experience. Shebe'ezrato, be'ezrat hanisayon, the chushim, the senses, are able to perceive and absorb things. And number two, you have the creation of a picture of the world upon which the seichel has to be active. So that was the dimyon pictures the world, and it has its sense perception, and then the seichel is now going to use that information to decide what is emes and what isn't, and how to act in this context. However, every dimyon has a koach to create a standard, a set picture of the world, and then the seichel will have nothing to say about that. A person for whom dimyon is koveya, whose imagination is primary and not the seichel, can live within the world of dimyon and perceive in this world his mitzias. But what happens is, since you're in the world of dimyon, you're nifal. Hadvarim nitfasolo me'achutz v'lo mikoach ha'yitzira shelo. This is perceived from the outside and not from your own, it's not your own creation. The true tsura of a person is tselem elokim. That's mochid, that's a seichel, that's chol b'foal. In other words, the seichel creates your picture of the world. The koach ha-borei is giving a tsura to the world, like we discussed at the very beginning of our Mishlei Shiurim, giving a form, giving meaning, giving an organizing principle to the world, not to accept the world as it is, but to shape the world according to truth. Tselem Elokim. What is Elokim? Bereishis bara Elokim. We have to create our world by giving it meaning. Avraham Avinu gave a tzura to the world because he didn't. It was conceive the world as it was. Avraham Avinu established that there is a manhig labira, and through this he gave a shlemus to the world. This hasaga, this perception that there's a manig labria, Avraham Avinu understood in his seichel on his own, but as a result of this, he was zocha to the hasaga of heitzel of balabira, which is necessarily beyond what he was able to receive until now, and this is a hasaga of nivuah, which is above the seichel. So he had the hasaga of seichel, ish manig labria, and then heitzel of balabira, God appeared to him, and he was able to have nivuah, and that's a matzav where a person's a poel in the world, and not a nifal. Rambam Mor Nevuchim, Book 1, Chapter 44. Vayavo meitoel apulus kishiur kufiyadin velo leredifas ha'hipalus kichola ha'hipalus ra. So, all hipalus, being mispoil, being passive, being affected by your surroundings and not affecting your surroundings, being shaped by what is around you and not shaping what is around you, the Rambam says, is no good. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Megala, the true Metzias, it is going to become clear that somebody who lives in the world of Dimyon is living in a world of Choser Metzias, and that's the union of Gehenna that we see in the Maharal, which is He'ader, which is just an absence of existence. And that's what Dimyon is, because a person's imagining what really doesn't exist. It's an Olam of Choser Metzias. The whole union of Yisurim is a Chisaron B'tnai Akiyum Shel Olam. Yisurim and Gehenna are the Omek of Musag Yisurim. In other words, whenever you have Yisurim, what is Yisurim? When you lack something, a person's hungry. Yisurin, he lacks food. Tired, lacks sleep. Single, lacks a spouse. Sick, lacks health. All of the Yisurim are all choser tenei kiyum, a lack of the conditions to properly exist. And Gehenim is Spitz Yisurim, because that's the complete absence of existence. The person's there, but there's nothing around them. There's no existence around them, whatever that means. Gehenim is like Eish. Eish is 1/60th of Gehenim. Why? The Gra explains. 1/60th is a shear of Nesinas Tam. In other words, Eish is something that contradicts Metzias. It destroys the Metzias. It consumes the Metzias. The matzav of something that's in fire is a matzav of Metzias in a system that contradicts Metzias. That's Gehenim. The person's in Eish, which is a lack of Metzias. It's Mechaleh the Metzias. It consumes the Metzias. And the person's in that Metzias, and that's more horrible than anything. A person goes to his world, olam shelo, his world, in olam haba. A person continues his life in the system that he created in this world. Somebody who's living in the world of Dimyon continues in the next world to live in this lo metzias. Rachman Litzlan, Hashem Yatzilenu. So we are not finished yet with our explanation. So let us go a little bit further. In the system of Seichel, there is no place for Tov v'Ra. Tov v'Ra hem tfitza b'chitzoniyut hadvarim. Tov and Ra is the externals. There's beautiful and ugly, there's good and there's bad. In the world of Seichel, there's Emes and Sheker. The Seichel is Tofes, only what exists and has a true Metzias. Sheker has no Metzias and is not nitfas al yedei Seichel. That's the whole yachas of Seichel to things, mitzad amitut kiyumam. ולכן אינו תופס כלל עניינים של טוב ורע שאינם נוגעים למציאות מצד אמיתות קיומה אלא מצד התפיצה החיצונית שבה. Persons in the world of טוב ורע, he's only in the world of externalities. Because in the internal world, in the world of emes and sheker, sheker has no true metzias. And the seichel realizes that. And therefore, when the person's in the world of טוב ורע, so that's not true seichel. When Dimyon is tofes and is koveya without the seichel, so then sheker lives in the person, because now he's in the world of imagination. Giving a tsura to the world through Dimyon is sheker. And therefore sheker can take hold of reality. When sheker has a metzias, now we have a choice between good and evil. Because truth and falsehood both have a metzias, and therefore a person can go for both. And that's not good. A person should be in a world of just emes and sheker, where sheker doesn't even have a metzias. And that was the sin of Adam HaRishon. The dim was given to him, as the Arizal says, as a kli ha-seichel, as a kli for the seichel to use, just as a kli klita, and then the seichel is poel, the seichel activates this, what the dimyon absorbed. However, And the relationship to the tree is a tov lemachol v'tav leinayim, was a tfis of dimyon. Person has dimyonis. Person sees a beautiful woman. It's just pure dimyon. He doesn't know her, and if he did, he wouldn't probably be as interested, generally, because it's a world of dimyon. He has an imagination, and he has his feelings, and that's just dimyonis. But it's not real. It's not emes. What do they say? Love at first sight, divorce at second sight. The tfisa, the eitz, haita lo mitzad etzem kiyumo lo mitzad yofio v'tuo. It wasn't about the eitz's true reality. It was about the beauty of the eitz. Ooh, tov eitz, lamacho, v'tav leinayim, going with the dmiyonis, going with the external. And therefore the onesh is that okay? Now you're going to live in your consciousness, you're going to have lots of dimyon. And now from now on, you're going to be like the Targum says, you're going to be like a shofet, you're going to be like a judge. Because you're going to have two sides to choose from. we discussed in a previous shiur, Chava was noted towards Dimyon, and therefore it says Vatera Isha Kitove hates. She inclined towards that imagination of it really being good. Adam, and then Adam said, Aisha Shenasati Madi, it's the woman you gave to me, meaning it's because of Dimyon. That's why we had this sin. The Gemara says that a Nachash had Bia with Chava and Hitil Bazoama. It's the gedder of the Chet Eishasish. In other words, instead of her being Nif'elis Ayadei Baila, which is, represents the Koach HaSechel, now she's going to be Nif'elis by other things. And that's the Zoma, that's the impurity, by being impacted by things other than Seichel. Not living in the world of Emes and Sheker, but of Tov and Ra. So what does Rabbi Sol Misalant say? Hadimyon Nachal Shoitev V'HaSechel Yitba. Hadimyon Tovea la'atzmo ta koach liot kovea b'tmunat olama mitkabelet al yado. The imagination demands for itself the power to establish a picture of the world that the imagination accepts, to give mitzias l'dvarim hanitpasim. So since the dimyon is tmunat hadvarim, therefore it is a nachal shotef, it's always going. It's always making a picture of the world, and it's matbiya the seichel, because what establishes your picture of the world, the person's picture of the world, Hashem, not you, is the dimyon, and the seichel doesn't have time to establish, to give a tzura, to give a form, to give true meaning, to invoke the correct narrative about what the dimyon is seeing and expressing and feeling. So that's why hadimyon nachal shotef. You're just flooded with these dimyonis about the world, and the seichel, which is supposed to give a tzura to this dimyon, is just drowning. So the solution, says Rabbeinu Rabbi Yisrael, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Schuso Togein Aleinu V'Akol Yisrael Amen, is Rikshas HaNefesh V'Saras HaRuach. The chiddush of Musar is to use the koyach hadimyon to be koveas advarim b'nefesh. In other words, to be machlit al pi seichel, what are those things that are fitting to be established in one's imagination, and to use the koyches hadimyon themselves in order to establish them in the system of dimyon. That's what you do with hispilus and hisraxus, like the koyches hadimyon. Zeu inyan shel hitpa'alut v'hitrakshut. על-ידי כוחות הדמיון שמסוגלים ליצור תמונה בעלת עוצמה מכל דבר ודבר. על-ידי הגדלה והאדרה מעבר לתפיסה המהותית של הדברים הנתפסת על-ידי השכל. רגשת הנפש וסערת הרוח בכוחות דמיון של התפעלות ותנועה אפשר לקבוע בדמיון את התמונה האמיתית וליצור תיקון מלא עד לחזרה של שליטת השכל על הדמיון. השכל עצמו הוא שקט ואין בו מקום לתנועה. נפש היא החלק הנמוך, לכן די בהתרגשות כדי להפעילה. רוח היא חלק הגבוה יותר, כדי להגיע להניע אותה צריך שערה. So what you have to do is, that's the chiddush of Musar. Use your dimyon in order to establish things in your soul. You have to use this dimyon which led you astray. You have to use it for the right purposes. In other words, the seichel decides what should be established in one's imagination, and then use your imagination, in other words, use that world of emotion, of passion, to establish these ideas in your soul. So I have the rikshas hanefesh, this emotion in the soul, besaras ruach, and the storm of the spirit. In other words, use your imagination. Your seichel determines what it should imagine. And then it establishes that imagination as part of one's psyche, because since we're living in the world of imagination, so we have to use the imagination properly, and that's why the Eitzah is Rikshas HaNefesh V'Saras HaRuach, and that's how we're able to overcome the bad imagination by the Seichel telling us what to feel, and through those very powerful feelings we absorb and assimilate the correct ideas into our conscious and subconscious minds. That's why he says we have to be no saying ozen kashevis ela seichel v'haskil advar emes. And you know what the oniya, you know what the ship of the seichel is? Rikshas hanefes v'asaras haruach. So the seichel rides with that powerful dimyon, with that rikshas hanefes v'asaras haruach. Okay, Baruch Hashem siyata d'shmaya. We have tons more to do, but I think we've learned today about the dimyon, the seichel, cheder adam rishon. Pretty awesome. And there is Hashem, and the next year we'll continue. Simcha b'tuv lev of Mirov Kol. Shalom, shalom. Thank you.